Let's take our Bible, please, this morning and open with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 12. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Peter writes and says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost." In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus gives to Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It had been Peter's privilege to unlock the mysteries of the glorious gospel, the truth of the gospel, to the Jews first, as recorded in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And then later he would unlock the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Time has now passed, and Peter knows that his time on earth is coming to a close. He has a great concern for the people of God, and he desired that they would carry that burden with him once he was passed from the scene. His burden was the propagation of the gospel. Peter, in his first letter to the believers scattered abroad, writes to them and encourages those who are suffering persecution, suffering at the hands of both government leaders and religious leaders of the day. He wants them to understand how they can continue on and be faithful. In his second letter, he is helping them deal with the onslaught of false teaching that has brought perversion to the church of Christ. And Peter's desire in all things is simply that the church would remain faithful, steadfast in her faith, and not fall away. As you come to 2 Peter, you find really the final words of exhortation from a loving father. Peter loves the people to whom he writes, but you also find the bold stance of a fierce fighter for God's truth. And in this passage this morning, what I want you to see with me is simply what I've termed the evidence that demands our faithfulness. You and I have been called of God to serve Him in this place. We are called upon as stewards to be found faithful. And Peter gives to us the evidences as to why we ought to continue faithful for our God. I want to look at those with you this morning. Before we do, though, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come and look into your word. Lord, I thank you for the letter that Peter has written. Lord, I thank you for the challenges that he's going to lay before us, that we would ever be faithful. Father, we live in days where many are not faithful. Lord, in fact, your word tells us that as the world waxes worse and worse, that the Church of Christ at times will wane in its faithfulness and its effectiveness, but will instead heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and will deny the truth of the Word of God. Well, Lord, I pray for us as a people that we would ever be faithful to You. In Sunday school, over the last few months, thoughts of stewardship have been taught to us as a people. Lord, You require Your stewards to be faithful. And Lord, I pray that we would see the reasons why. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to then live out a life of faithfulness, of service to You. Well, thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us, we have, if you will, the scene of a courtroom. False teachers have found their way into the early church. They are perverting the truth of the gospel for which Peter has fought, a gospel for which he has stood, a truth that he loves because it is engulfed in the reality of the Savior that he loved. For the center, folks, of the gospel is Jesus Christ. False teachers, though, have come in and they are trying to distort the precious truths of God's Word, and they want others to be following them towards their destruction. Peter, in this passage, acts as a prosecuting attorney. Peter's going to lay the case for us. He's going to show us why they're wrong, and he's going to show us why we ought to be faithful to God. What reasons there are for us to remain true in these days. Therefore, we come to verse 12, and as we do, we find the importance of reviewing our doctrine. As Peter begins to lay out his case, he shares with all of us the importance of reviewing our doctrine. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Peter says, as I am writing to you this letter, which will help you deal with the problems within the church today, let me begin by putting you in remembrance of the truth. Peter was keenly aware, like Paul, that his time here on earth was soon to come to an end. And as he considered his departure, he was stirred to put God's people to remembrance. The trials of the past and the teaching of the present had grounded them and settled them in the truth. But Peter was aware of the importance of constantly bringing to remembrance the wonderful truths of the gospel. Why is that so important? Because, folks, the teaching of false doctrine, and even today, is extremely subtle. Some of the things that we see going on within the realm of Christianity today will cause some to be loose from their moorings, and they will drift away, not even understanding that they are no longer living in the truth, because those teachings are very subtle. So Peter says it's important. I would not be negligent to put you in remembrance of the truth. Look at verse 13. Peter says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That word meet is simply a term that means it's the right thing to do. Peter says, as long as I am living, the right thing for me to do for you is to remind you of the truth. What a wonderful blessing and joy we have, week after week, service after service, and opportunity after opportunity to be reminded of the truth. You know, folks, the reality is there's nothing new for us to share. There's nothing new under heaven today. The Bible hasn't changed, nor has the God of the Bible changed. But the truths need to be continually brought back to our remembrance, the truths of the gospel. Because these truths are often brought under attack. They're distorted. And we need to know what is the truth. The world today and religion today is offering mankind their own devised fables. But there's an importance of us of being reminded of our doctrine. Peter understood that the reminders of doctrine keep us settled in the truth. Again, look at verse 12. Wherefore I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. To be reminded of the truths of God's word, to be reminded of doctrine, keeps us settled in that truth. One commentator made a good observation with regards to the memory of mankind. Here's what he said. Memory is capricious. We remember a hurt, but we forget a favor. Think about that in your own life. There's truth there. We remember the hurt, we forget the favor. Therefore, he concluded, preachers and churches may seem to be saying the same old thing repeatedly, but there is no other way to keep the Christian faith alive. You and I need to be constantly reminded of the favor of God, the wonderful blessing of the gospel, the wonderful reality of His truth, His doctrine. Because, folks, we are quick to forget the good thing of God's word. We remember the bad. We remember the distortions, but we tend to forget the truth. Man in his human nature never forgets a rumor, but you have to convince him of the truth. You ever have that happen? Someone comes up and says to you, let me just tell you something that I heard, and you go, oh, okay, I can't believe that about that person. Someone else comes along and says, what you heard was not true. Yeah, right. Prove it. Why? That's our human tendency. We remember the hurts, we remember the bad, but we forget the favors. Hey, folks, do you realize that as you live day by day and week by week and year by year, as you try to serve God, there is an enemy the Bible calls the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may destroy, whom he may devour. What does he use? Lies. Distortions of truth. When he met Adam and Eve in the garden, what did he say? Hath God really said that if you eat of that fruit, you're going to die? Is that what he said? Really? God knows that at the day that you eat of it, you're going to be just like him. You're be a God, knowing good and evil. Would they know good and evil? Yeah, they would. Would they be a God? No, death was certain for them. Oh, they didn't die that instant, that moment, but they entered the process of spiritual death and they died. And death and sin came upon all mankind. Why? Because the devil uses distortions. He uses lies. That's why Paul was careful to tell us how to think. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever is of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. We ought to be thinking on the truth, not thinking on the lie. And Peter says, I want to remind you of the truth because the reminder of doctrine keeps us settled in the truth. But reminders of doctrine stir us up to keep us living for the Lord. Verse 13. It's meet. It's the right thing for me as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The word here, stir up, means to awaken, to be aroused. Peter sought to remind them of the truth that they were first given, that they might be awakened to it and live as they first lived. We had the teens over to our house for breakfast this morning. In talking with them, I asked, what time are you normally getting up? Well, I have to wake my brother up or my sister up at this is such time. I have to stir them up. They have to be aroused. If you don't, they would sleep on. It's summer, right? So we sleep on. Sometimes we have to be awakened, stirred up. Peter says we have to be reminded of the truth because it stirs us up. Why? Because, folks, we become sluggish in our service. We forget our first love. It's easy for us to think the longer that we're saved that we have all that we need and we know all that we need to know. We're okay. Folks, you and I need to be constantly reminded of the truth. In our lives, as we face our trials, our circumstances, as we go through good and bad, to be reminded of the truth. And Peter says it stirs us up, it puts us to remembrance. I want you to consider with me a couple of the wonderful truths that we need to be reminded of. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, reminds us of this thought, that in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit devised a plan. Though men would sin, that He would in turn love Him and send His only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ came into the world. He left the glory of heaven, came to this earth, was made like unto sinful man, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, you and I need to be stirred up to remember that our salvation is because simply Jesus Christ loved us in eternity past. He came that He might die for us. He died for me simply because He loved me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Can you comprehend that? Can you honestly comprehend that God would love a sinner such as you? Romans makes it clear that He commended, He showed His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. There was nothing in us deserving of such love, but He loved us. Because of His love that brought Him to this earth, He has also taken the time to know us. God knows you better than any other person on this earth. He knows you better than you know your own self. He sees and He understands. The Bible says He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frames, that we are but dust. He knows what we struggle with. He knows our fears. He knows what excites us. He knows our gifts and our abilities. He gave them to us. He sees your love and your passions. He knows you. There is nothing that's a surprise to God. There's no shock to Him. And in knowing us, He seeks to help us, to comfort us. In fact, He has said to us to come unto Him. When we are weary and heavy laden, He'll give us rest. We're to come boldly to the throne of God. He has made it possible for us to have access to draw nigh unto Him. All because in eternity past He loved you and provided for you a way of salvation that you might enter into relationship with Him, and He understands and knows you and cares for you. How wonderful truth it is that we can trust in Jesus as our Savior, to know we are justified. What a beautiful term. We're in a courtroom setting, so to speak, and the term justified reminds us that God the Father declares us righteous. He who is the judge. He doesn't see us as a sinner anymore because of Jesus Christ. We are now righteous. How wonderful it is to consider, folks, that while we live here upon this earth with the love of God, the knowledge of that love, that we've been saved and justified. How wonderful it is to know that this isn't all that we have to live for. See, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, this isn't home. Heaven's home. Where Jesus Christ lives and will be called to be with Him someday. And Peter understands the importance of doctrine and being reminded of the truth. But Peter continues now and says, it's important that I stir you up with the truth. But now he says, it's an importance that you learn to remain faithful. Look at verse 14. Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter is writing to people that he loved and says, I am soon going to depart out of this world. Peter understood that the church and the people there would soon go through a period of transition. Peter understood what was taking place in his world at that time. Peter knew that himself, along with the other apostles, one day would all soon be off this earth. His departing was at hand. And the church would go through a time of transition. Peter says, I want you, though, to understand the importance of your faithfulness. I want you to understand there's a reason we do these things. My time is coming to an end. Peter understood there's a danger at time of transition because wolves find their way in and destroy. But Peter reveals his heart in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He said, that's why I'm writing these to you. I'm sharing these doctrines to come. I'm sharing the truth that you will always have it with you. They're important. Be faithful unto them. I want you to understand a couple things with me, if we could. Number one, would you understand this thought? There is the reality of departure. Peter says, my departing's at hand. Folks, you and I will always have to, in this life, deal with departings. They're never easy. They're hard. But there is a reality of departure. People will come and people will go. Things don't always stay the same. We would like things to always stay the same, but they don't. Think back with me, if you would, over the years. In the 6 years that we've been here, we've had to say some goodbyes. Men and women of our church that we loved. Men and women who were faithful in serving the Lord. They're no longer here with us on Sundays. We no longer see them in this life. Things change. Departings come. We have to say our goodbyes. There are always departures. But understand this thought. God never changes, nor does His Word. And in all of these things, Peter said, I understand a change is coming for me and for you. But God never changes. He is always the same. So he reminds them of the importance or the responsibility to carry on, to be faithful. He desired that the people of God walk faithfully no matter what changes come. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? Because it's hard to say goodbyes to people that we love. That man, that woman in the church, that was in some ways a close friend of mine, or they were my mentor, they were my friend. I looked to them. They were my counselor. I don't know how to go on without them. I don't like that change. Let me give you a thought. Never fix your eyes on a person. Always fix them on the Lord. Sometimes we allow ourselves to fix our eyes upon a man. We want to follow a man. We want to look to a person. But our eyes aren't to be fixed on another person. Our eyes are to be fixed on Jesus Christ, on God. Because, folks, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Men will fail you. Friends will forsake you. People will come and people will go. But God never changes. And you and I are called upon to be faithful. We are to trust the Lord. For He never leaves and He never forsakes. As we come to verse 16, Peter now shares the importance of remembering our time with Christ. Look at what he says. We have not followed cunningly devised fables that were made, when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when it came from such a voice, from that excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice came from heaven. We heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter says, listen, there were things that I have seen. There are things that I have heard. We were an eyewitness to those truths. And it's a reminder for us to be faithful. He remembers his time with Christ. What is it that you think kept Peter faithful in all of the hardships? Folks, you and I don't understand really the hardships of being a Christian as Peter understood them. Men and women and children were imprisoned because of their faith, executed. Some even burned alive simply because they said, "I believe in Jesus Christ." Families forsook them. They lost everything. True persecution. How could Peter and others remain faithful? What allowed him to be calm in reference to his departure from this world? I mean, how can Peter, how can Paul make statements like, "I know my departing's at hand. I know I'm dying soon." How can they be so calm in such a statement? By the way, Peter knows how he's going to die. How calm would you be knowing that when your time comes, you're going to be crucified like the Savior lifted up? He stood and he witnessed the pain and the agony of such things. He knew that's how he was going to die. How could he be so calm? What prevented him from becoming the false teacher and succumbing to the false doctrines? Peter gives us a glimpse of it. He said, "I remember the day when I saw Jesus Christ in all of His glory. I remember that day of being with Him in the Holy Mount. I remember the day in which He was transfigured before us. I remember the day of hearing the voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him.'" Now folks, what did Peter see on that day? Just Jesus? No. Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ talking with Moses and Elijah. Peter's the one who voiced, I think, the thoughts of the other two that were standing there. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's just stay here a while. We can hang out with Moses, and we can hang out with Elijah and Jesus too. And God brings a cloud over them. And folks, the reality is that on that day he saw Jesus Christ for who he really was. The only one. And Peter says, I remember that time with him. He knew he wasn't following a fairy tale or a fable. He had walked with God. He had seen the miracles. He saw firsthand the power and majesty of the Almighty. Peter was there to see the empty tomb. He was there to watch the Lord return in glory to heaven. He knew the promise that he would come. He heard directly from God the Father. He had seen it. He had been with him. Peter says, that's why I'm faithful. He said, boy, I wish I had experiences like that. Folks, have you not spent time with the Lord? Have you not seen him and all of his glory and majesty? It's found for us in the pages of his word. Have you not witnessed the change of heart and the change of life? When a sinner comes to Calvary and the burden is lifted off and they stand redeemed? Have you not seen the Lord in glorious ways answer prayer and provide for you the miracle that you were hoping for? Folks, God still does wonderful things today. He does miraculous things today. Oh, that we would open our eyes and see him. The problem is too much of this world is overshadowing that time with him. And Peter reminds us that there's a need for us to see him and remember our time with him. Peter says it's important that we focus on our time with Christ. The final reason that he gives to us, the argument made, is the importance of trusting his written word. Look at verse 19. After sharing the fact that he had been an eyewitness of all these accounts, he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day that dawn. And the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's important that you and I learn to trust his written word. His final point in completing his case, although he had been an eyewitness of the ministry of Christ, he had spent much time with him. He reminds God's people they have something better. They have the Word of God. Folks, you and I can trust the witness of his Word. I wasn't there to see the Lord transfigured. I wasn't there with Isaiah to see the throne of God. And the seraphim each having six wings and crying aloud, holy, holy, holy. I wasn't there when David slew Goliath. I wasn't there when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked with Christ in the fire. I wasn't there at the events in Noah's day to see the earth destroyed. Yet God protect him by his grace. I wasn't there. But his word records for me those glorious truths. I wasn't there in Bethlehem to see the Savior born and to worship with the shepherds as they saw him lying in a manger, or to worship with the Magi in the home. I wasn't there to see the crucifixion, nor was I there to see the empty tomb. But folks, I've been there because God's word takes me there. And his word is true, been proven true. We have the eyewitness account of God in his word. God has given to us his word and preserved it for every generation. Its truth cannot be altered. In fact, Peter says it shines as a light in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We have the word of God. All of these things Peter points to us and simply says, see the evidence that you be faithful. Peter understood his time on this earth was coming to an end. A change was imminent for him and for the people. But he wanted them to understand the importance and the value of being faithful. He desired to stir them up to the truth. And folks, there are many truths to which we need to be stirred up. There is much truth that we ought to reflect upon and consider. And let us never tire of those truths. Let us trust in them with all of our heart. Let us look to the God of the Word and trust His Word. Enjoy our time with Him. We have another opportunity tonight, even as we are today, to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ around His table. I hope you come back tonight prepared in heart to fellowship with Him. That as we come, we would hear the Lord even speak to us so that we would understand the reality and the blessing of time with Christ as we see Him and spend time with Him in His Word. What a joy and blessing is ours. What much has been given to us. But for much that's been given, much is required. And to His stewards, He requires of us faithfulness. Folks, I don't know what the days will hold for any of us. I don't know what the future holds. Even within this year, we have seen things, expected things, only for them to change. Some for good, some not for good. But in it all, God never changes. He is always the same. And Peter longs for us as God's people in this day to be faithful to the Lord. Folks, there may be a day that comes when our freedoms are stripped from us. The privilege that we have today could be wiped away. But in all of these things, let the redeemed of the Lord be faithful to Him and to His Word, that glory be brought to His name. Pray with me, please, as we close.